Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Hi and welcome to my show this evening, and I really am honoured today to be interviewing somebody who is so charismatic and I've had the pleasure to interview before, albeit as a co-host with now producer Al. And her name is Crystal Madison, and she's known as the Witch of Sleepy Hollow. And last time I interviewed Crystal with Al, she was explaining to us about her beliefs and the ideology and principles behind being a witch, and it was absolutely fascinating. So thank you, Crystal, for agreeing to be interviewed by me again. I'm absolutely humbled.
Thank you for having me again. I'm honored.
So for the purpose, for those people listening who missed the last interview or may not be familiar with yourself, tell us a little bit about all of the things that you do, because you're a medium, you're a witch, you talk about paganism on your website, you clearly support people with communicating with those that have passed over, and you're called the psychic for those who don't usually go to psychics. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I think that when most people think of psychic, they think of that shop along the street that has the flashing neon palm. And they think of, you know, some things they've seen in movies with the craziness going on. And my approach is very, very different from that. I'm very down to earth. I'm very direct. I don't hold back in the messages that I get and the things that I see. And I always have plenty of tissues for the readings. And I'm a hugger, too. I mean, I've been known even at festivals to get up from my chair and go over and hug the person because I could actually feel the energy coming off of them and that, or that they're about, you know, they're ready to cry. It's not always about, you know, when somebody says, well, how much do you charge for a reading? I don't have money. And he said, but I bake. I'll make you a pie. And I said, fine, I've taken chickens. I've taken pie. So I'm not your usual, you know, I'm not the psychic that, you know, that most people would think. There's no crystal ball. There's nothing crazy going on when someone comes to see me. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. You know, my office is all earth tones, and, you know, there's nothing crazy. No skulls, nothing like that. So. That's in my house. I keep that to my house, but in my office, it's just not that way. I mean, my goal is to make the client as comfortable as they can possibly be.
I love that because, you know, that is so relaxing for people, isn't it? When they're normally, when they come to a medium or a psychic looking for resolve or peace or some sort of finality and settlement in terms of being able to move forward, and normally in quite a state of trauma. And then when somebody goes in and finds all these kind of, I suppose, ornaments associated with paranormal paraphernalia, it right. just makes a little bit of maybe of a mockery of what we do.
Right. No, my focus is the client that comes to me. Oftentimes it's somebody's first time. Believe it or not, you would think by now that so many people have gone to see a psychic or have gone to see a medium, and that is definitely not the case. And I also acknowledge that many times if they're coming to see a psychic, whether it's me or it's somebody else, they either have issues that are unresolved within themselves or with somebody who passed on and they didn't get that closure. So I do try to be mindful of that, and try to help the client resolve those issues, whether it be by a message that comes through that puts them at ease, or or they had a question that they came with and spirit comes through and answers that. It could be in the strangest way too. I had a woman in front of me one time where I said, I'm seeing casinos and I'm seeing doves around the casinos, and she just started crying. And she said, well, my husband's symbol, before he died, he said, I will send you a dove. And she was supposed to go to the casino with her girlfriends and with him, and then he had passed on. And she felt guilty about going on to the casino without him. So that was his way of saying, just do it. Just go. Don't feel guilty. Live your life. Move on. I'm fine. So I got goosebumps just telling that. It's about the client. It's about making them comfortable. I'm not about, putting on a show or trying to have as many oddball things in my sphere as possible, in the office. They walk in and they're going, oh, my God, what is she into? So just very relaxed and comfortable energy.
So you when you do a reading, how do you receive the information? Because many mediums will describe this in a very different way, and I describe it as a thought that comes in that you then make sense of. But how do you describe that?
Oftentimes it comes as a thought. You're absolutely right. The easiest way for spirit, as for them to communicate is telepathically.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it'll come in as a thought. Sometimes there are symbols. There's a story about that too. Sometimes there's symbols. I'm also a physical medium, so if the person sitting in front of me has an ailment, or the person who has passed that's communicating passed away from some kind of condition, I'll actually begin to feel it. This was emphysema, I'll start coughing and I'm having a hard time breathing. If there was impact or trauma to the head, I'll feel it. And it's all about interpretation too, especially when you're being shown symbols. I mean, for example, I had another client in front of me, and I kept seeing the castle for Disney. And I kept seeing in front of that castle, how in the Disney movies, they'll say Walt Disney Productions, but there's that Disney font. And I kept seeing the name Walt. So I assumed Disney World. And she's insisting, I've never been to Disney. There's no connection to Mickey Mouse. And I said, okay, this is exactly what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the castle for Disney, and I'm seeing someone write the name Walt in Disney font. And she says, my husband's name was Walt. So sometimes, it's like being spiritual charades. So if they're not giving it to you telepathically and you're seeing the imagery, you have to try to interpret that imagery. And sometimes it's impossible. It's not personal to you. I mean, you're just a messenger. So you're trying to relay this message, and at the same time, you're trying to interpret it, and you don't know what the heck it means, and it's personal to the person sitting in front of you. So sometimes you just have to say, this is what I'm seeing. I don't know what it means, but this is what I'm seeing. And it makes perfect sense to them.
I remember a time, Crystal, where I stood at the front of a spiritualist church, early days for me, and it was one of my first ever appearances at a spiritualist church, and I'm not particularly, I'm religious in my own way, but I'm not really quite sure about many, many different things. I've got lots of questions. So I was at the front, and I was asking spirits to give me information, and we have a cartoon over here called Postman Pat. And all I kept seeing was this Postman Pat and his van. And I was putting that out to the audience, and nothing was coming back. And I really was dying a death, like a really poor comedian. And I asked Spirit, look, I said, this is not good enough. I cannot do this. I don't know what you're talking about. And they showed me a picture of me opening up a gas bill that morning. And I said to the audience, okay, who's got British Gas? And this gentleman in the audience said, well, that's me. I got that letter this morning. I said, well, what's relevant about the letter? He said, well, I don't actually get a gas supply. I said, okay, who's Pat? He said, oh, that's my son. So I had Post, I had Man, and I had Pat. So I had the whole cartoon, but actually the way that was given to me to get to that one gentleman in the audience was crazy.
And it is. Yes.
That's how some of the complexities, isn't it, of what we do and trying to make sense of information.
No, absolutely. Just recently I had a friend, two friends, and they usually call me on three-way every morning. And they both had a friend named Sean who passed away. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about Sean that morning. And his name was spelled S-H-A-W-N. So he said, yeah, you know, I really feel his presence around. And you know, Sean, if you're here, please give us a sign. At that moment, I called with one of my ministers, whose name is Sean. On three-way, I said, I have my friend Sean on the phone. He's one of my ministers. And they completely freaked out. And they said, how is your name spelled? And he said, S-H-A-W-N. And they're like, oh, my God. So they do have, very unique ways of getting their message across. Sometimes they're startling. You know, it's right there. There's no denying it. You know that's a message. And then there are times where it's more subtle.
Yeah, definitely. Really interesting, isn't it? And you cannot explain. I was talking to somebody. I was being interviewed myself, actually, on a radio show the other day, and I was trying to explain that one of the critiques with mediumship is that we are trying to make sense of information that is given. And as human beings, we try and almost humanize it and make sense of it, when actually we just need to give what we're being given. And that's really hard for us, because we want to put it into a context, because we're trying to evidence the existence of and the validity of what we're giving. But actually, sometimes that can really backfire if we think about it too much.
Right. Right.
So
there was a time in my life where I completely denied the gift that I had, and I didn't want it.
Right.
And oftentimes they don't stop. Whether you want it or not, if they know you can hear them, or they can, you know, or you're sensitive, they're going to keep coming.
Yeah.
And it would be in the most awkward situations or the most inappropriate times. And he just said, you know, I'm not going to leave me alone. I as well just, you know, do something about this and just sort of embrace who I am.
Yeah, I've got a day job and then the mediumship as well. And it is really difficult trying to know when you move from one to the other in terms of career-wise. It's, it's you know what you're meant to be doing. You know that you've been given a gift for a reason, but it's about timing. And when you make that full-time kind of vocation, I suppose. Just thinking about something you said just now, you talked about one of your ministers, and I read on your website that you're an ordained minister. So what does that mean? Tell me about that.
I am an ordained minister with the Trinacrian Rose Church in Salem, Massachusetts. I am legally allowed to perform weddings, hand fastings, funerary rites, naming ceremonies, which are the equivalent of our baptisms. It's a non-denominational church. I also make visits to the local hospitals for those who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ministry is. It's service.
And what does the title of high priestess mean? You talk about being high priestess of the Order of Corvin. What does that mean?
I am high priestess of, it's actually a family order. It's House Corvin. I'm the head of House Corvin. I was also initiated high priestess into Raven's Wing Coven in upstate New York. High priestess is somebody who leads a coven or leads a type of religious or spiritual order or group. It's basically a calling. You hear a service, you hear a call to service. If you answer it, and you know, the purpose is to serve. So a high priestess is a teacher, a high priestess is a counselor, a high priestess is a minister in their own way. it's a lot of work. it's phone calls at 3 a.m. It's, you know, people showing up at your door unannounced who need help. And it's really, there is a bit of a difference from being a minister and a high priest or high priestess, only being that a ministry is recognized by the state.
Yeah.
But essentially, it's almost the same thing.
Okay. So I just find it all fascinating, and I mean that completely. So what I want to find out a little bit more about is, normally when I talk to people, I can ask them, you know, what are those early experiences that lead you to where you are? But when I was thinking about this interview earlier on this afternoon, the one question that came to me was, because I'm sure there are many experiences you've had, but the single and the earliest experience that's led you to your current place of being, Crystal?
My earliest experience?
Yeah, and I don't know why I've been asked to word that question in the way that I have, but that's how the question came.
In terms of being a medium, or?
To where you are today, so spiritually where you are today, so the single earliest experience that led you to your current place of being, wherever you think that might be. It's quite a hard question, but it came to me earlier, and I knew I needed to ask you it.
That's a great question. I was born into a family of witches. Not just witches, but Native Americans. My mother, my grandmother, my aunts, they were all Santeras, which they practiced Santeria. And my grandfather was Mohegan Indian. And my grandmother on my father's side was Hungarian Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was also made to go to church. I was baptized. I made communion. I made confirmation. I actually almost became a nun.
Right. Surprised me, actually.
Yeah, and all I knew was I wanted to serve. And I was very conflicted. I was taught at home, and then I was made to go to church. And there were things I would see, and there were things I would experience, even as a child, that I was really confused about. And instead of going to my family, I went to church to try to find the explanations, and the answers often were, well, let's you know, bless you with holy water. Or it wasn't really an answer. So what ended up happening, I don't know how old I was. I fell asleep one night. It was in the summer. And there was, you know, no fan in the room. It was really, really hot. I had the window cracked open, and I was sleeping above the covers. And I hated, to this day, I'm still a night owl because of it. I hated going to bed at night, because the moment the lights went off in my room or everybody went to sleep, the house came alive. Right. And this happened as far back as I can remember, just even as a small child. And but this one particular night, I had just started falling asleep. I was sleeping above the covers. My feet were hanging off the bed, and I could feel something in the room. And I chose to try to ignore it and just go to sleep instead. And as I was just on the borderline of sleep, and I could actually feel the fingers wrap around my ankles. Something grabbed my ankles and yanked me halfway off the bed.
How scary.
It was terrifying. And to this day, I cannot sleep without my feet covered. I can't sleep without a comforter. I will never sleep above the blankets. You know, there's always some sort of light on. So I would say that was probably my earliest experience that brought me to where I am now. As young as 9, I was studying parapsychology when my friends were outside playing. I had my nose in books. I was doing my research because there were things I was seeing that I couldn't explain, that I was too scared to talk about. So I took it, you know, into my own hands and tried to find the answers myself. And when I realized that I was able to see things that other people weren't able to see, or feel things other people couldn't feel, or, you know, hear things other people couldn't hear, and my own spiritual journey between the church and what I was learning at home, I felt more comfortable it with just embracing all of it as opposed to having to choose just one. So the work I do today, I mean, I'm not just the psychic, you know, for people who don't usually go to psychics, I'm not your typical witch either. There are many in the pagan community who are angry, especially when it comes to Christianity or Catholicism, because of the history between, you know, those three religions. Yeah. Where I choose to just embrace people for who they are and not for what they believe religiously. I mean, at my gatherings, I have gatherings where others who are not part of my order are welcome to come. I have two Jehovah's Witnesses that sort of sneak out, and I'm not giving up their names, but they come. I have Catholics who come. I have Christians who come. And they don't have to participate. Yeah. They just sit there and they watch, but they're there to just enjoy themselves. And they're just to be, you know, fellowship, like, or community, regardless of the, you know, the spiritual practices. So I also get along very well with Satanists. I get along very well with many traditions of Wiccans. And I know my place. You know, I'm not an initiate. I do belong to a temple that is primarily Wiccan, but I am a member of the Board of Trustees. And they do try to get me to come to ritual, and I always refuse very politely. You know, when they ask me why, I said, I'm not Wiccan. Yeah. He said, well, that doesn't matter. But it does. It does matter. I don't want anybody to be confused. Yeah. I'm here to help the temple grow and flourish, and that's what I'm doing. Hey, honey. That's my little one in the background.
Aww. So how does your family see what you do? I mean, you said, you know, you're clearly, historically, older generations, this is completely a normal experience for them. But what about, I mean, we've just heard your little one in the background. How will you manage spirituality with your own children?
Fluidly. I get that question a lot, like, how do you manage doing what you do and raising a family? Like, how do you turn one off and turn one on? I don't. I don't. I mean, I am a witch every day. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not running around town in a black pointed hat. I do typically wear nothing but black, but mainly because that's just my favorite color. But, you know, I just incorporate everything. My mother is actually horrified that I'm a public witch because she's, you know, she's 73 years old. And, you know, she's of the belief that you hide what you are. Yeah. And I said to her, it's not that way anymore, okay? And it's really important that others are not afraid to come out and be who they are, and that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm out there in the public, and that's why I put myself out there. My children think it's really cool. you know.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
They've seen some things happen that they're like, I didn't know you could do that, you know, but, you know, I mean, they participate in the gatherings. The festivals that I host or that I attend, they usually come. My oldest daughter is learning to read the pendulum. I don't force anything on them. I let them make their own decisions. I have two children who decided to be Catholic. You know, I exposed him to many different religions and cultures. I mean, there's a Buddhist monastery not that far from me. I've taken him there. I've taken him to Baptist churches. I've taken him to Catholic churches. I've taken him to pagan festivals. I mean, they've seen, you know, they've seen every type of culture that I can expose them to. And I, you know, I let them make their own decisions. So they understand when that call comes in at 3 a.m. They know what that's about. They know what the festivals are about. I don't take one hat off and put another one on. I am who I am all the time. So, and they accept it and they love it. So, yeah, at the end of the day, if you're not true to yourself, you're going to come into a whole lot of problems. So,
definitely. And I think there is something quite unusual about families around mediums, because there is an accepting. And certainly when, you know, I was in my early 30s, when my mediumship came full on to the point where I could, the information I gave was so accurate, you couldn't distinguish it. You couldn't say it was anything else other than mediumship. So when I actually sort of said to my children, I know I'm a medium and this is what I'm going to be doing, they were, oh, okay. It was absolutely a normal part of the day-to-day life. There was never a question over it. And the only time that my children have ever commented on it is when they've seen me on stage doing something, or and they've said, actually, you look and you read a bit like John Edwards when you do that, or you do this, or you. It's just the way we get information and we present it to people. But it's fascinating how they just accepted that shift. There was no question over it, and I'm sure that Spirit prepared them for that.
Yeah, my two older children are extremely psychic. I mean, sometimes they scare me with how good they are. And, I mean, they're a good example. One time my son, who's 12 years old, he used to love Power Rangers. And so one day when he was at school, my mother calls and she says, you know, I got him this Power Ranger that he wanted, and just don't tell him because I want it to be a surprise. So I'm not going to say anything, you know. My son comes home. The next morning, he gets up. He comes down the stairs with a smile on his face, like almost like he was up to no good. And I said, what are you smiling about? He goes, I know what Grandma got me for my birthday. And I said, really, what did she get you? And he rattled off the name of the Power Ranger. And my mouth just dropped. And I said, How did you know? He goes, because her father and mother told me. Now, my grandparents have been deceased for years. He never even met them. And I said, really, Michael? And I, you know, well, what did they look like? He said, well, sometimes they speak in English, something I can't understand when they don't speak in English. You know, they'll see, I think it's Spanish. He says, but, you know, your grandfather likes to smoke his cigars and now my room stinks. And I mean, these were all things. He couldn't have known. He could not have known. So I called my mother and I said, you know, you might want to have a talk with them because they're telling him, you know, this was supposed to be a surprise. So they, you know, I mean, it's not just accepting, but they are experiencing it themselves. I mean, there are times we had a house where it was, you know, it was an extremely active house, and it was almost like Grand Central Station. I mean, a lot of them never stayed. They were just sort of passing through. But there were times they would come downstairs and say, Mom, there's something in my room. You need to go handle that. You know, or my guitar just started playing by itself. There's somebody in there. You need to go handle. I'm freaked out, you know. So I started them off with giving them a crash course in smudging. Okay, this is what you do. This is how you do it, you know. And so, I mean, I don't think that children learn what they live. And if they are raised learning how to hate, then they're going to hate. If they're raised learning how to love and accept, they're going to love and accept. And if, you know, if they're raised exposed to different people, different cultures, different practices, they're going to embrace that, and they're going to come up with their own decisions about it.
Absolutely. Okay, so when we spoke last time, we were talking about you had a witch's ball coming up. So how did it go?
Oh, it was wonderful. We had a good time. My date was the Headless Horseman. We had the belly dancers from Tribal Dance Long Island and Caravan Connection. They are amazing, and they gave a wonderful performance. They're going to be joining us again this year. And last year's, there's a theme every year. Last year's theme was Victorian Secrets. This year's theme is Day of the Dead. And this year, the location of the ball is actually right up the street from Sleepy Hollow Cemetery. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
How many people
attended? Yeah, we have a good time.
How many people attended?
You know what? I really don't know. I really don't. I mean, I know it was full. It was definitely full. I think it was somewhere up for the first year. It was like 60 or 70. I mean, we had booked a relatively small room because it was the first year.
Yeah.
This year we expanded the space. I mean, we're already selling tickets to the
That's
ball.
Amazing.
So
60 and 70.
Yeah.
Last year,
because the festival includes, last year it included one night seance, a 1 day psychic fair, and the witch's ball. This year, the seance is 2 days, two evenings, excuse me. The psychic fair is 2 days, and the witch's ball is obviously 1 day, but we also incorporated workshops this year. So we have magic with henna, candle magic, learning the tarot, ghost hunting 101. We have all kinds of workshops this year that we incorporate. Next year we're adding something else as well. That's a surprise. And we expanded the same too for the psychic fair as well. I mean, we tripled the size for the psychic fair. We had over 600 people come through the door last year.
I'm feeling a little bit disappointed that in the UK we have village halls with a few mediums scattered in corners doing their readings, and that's what they call a psychic fair. Mm-hmm. So feeling a bit disappointed that we don't quite have the level of passion, I think, in terms of events for mediumship, psychics, and generally differences. We just don't do that here. It's a shame.
Well, I mean, I started Festival of Witches in Sleepy Hollow to bridge the gap between the pagan and witch community and, for lack of a better word, the mundane community. I mean, mundane in the nicest way. I'm talking, you know, those who are not magical practitioners or, you know, and it's been really great. We had a Beltane festival this year that we did as well. And, I mean, that's really the goal, is education and bringing those communities together. Mm. And, you know, it's not circusy. It's not, there's nothing scary. It's family friendly. All my events are family friendly. I mean, I have children too. So, I mean, I get a lot of questions about the Beltane festival. You know, can we bring our kids? And I said, absolutely, because my kids will be, you know, my two older children are actually working the festival. So,
Crystal, that brings me really nicely to, I suppose, I'm not au fait with everything that goes on, obviously, in the news in the US and Canada, but there is a lot of controversy at the moment, isn't there, around witches and the killings and the blaming of witches for that. So how is that affecting things like that you're trying to do, like the balls and all of those things?
Well, we had a recent thing happen here where in the States where there was a triple murder, and yeah. It was, the murder happened on the blue moon. Okay, now the blue moon is the second moon in a month. Okay, it only happens every so often. And one of the suspects happened to be, or proclaimed to be, allegedly Wiccan. So the police department automatically assumed that it was a ritual killing done by Wiccans, and because of the way the bodies were placed and because it was on a full moon and a blue moon, that it had to have been a ritual killing. And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people with voices that are figures in the community spoke up, and I was among them, and said, this is not the act of Wiccans. I am not Wiccan, okay, and I have a lot of friends who are. And this was the act of somebody who was crazy. And this is just not, you know, I think it's very quick to, you know, it's easy to blame what you don't know. You know, and that's where fear comes from. Fear comes from the unknown. So you have somebody that portrays witches and other groups in a certain way because it's Hollywood and because that's what sells. And it's our job to, you know, negate that.
But has that had an impact on the events that you host?
It hasn't impacted it at all. I mean, I am out there in the community. I mean, it's almost very rare to see me out in town. And when I am, it's one of two reactions. Either people are driving by honking and screaming out my name, and I don't know them, or people get very quiet, and they back up, and they just watch to see what I'm going to do, you know. So as far as the events go, it hasn't affected the events. It's actually drawn more people to it. It's really all about accountability and how you conduct yourself. I know last year the town was sort of like, okay, well, let's just watch and see what she does. And then this year, you know, those I emailed her, spoke with on the phone, made it a point to come up to the tent during the town festival to formally introduce themselves. So, you know, it goes back to accountability, too, and how you conduct yourself. And, I mean, I do a lot with community and with charity. I run the Black Hat Society, and the Black Hat Society, it's a community-based organization. It's a bunch of witches from different, you know, paths, and we do community service. We do fundraisers for the food pantry. We do fundraisers for the local children's hospital. We actually have committees, Earth, Air, Fire, Water, and Spirit. So the Earth Committee is in charge of, like, beautification or planting flowers in certain areas of town, picking up litter, that kind of thing. You know, air has to do with air quality. Water has to do with water quality. Spirit, the Fire Committee, we help with the fire department. So, but the Spirit Committee is about people. And that's where, you know, those charities come into play and those fundraisers come into play and the money is given for, like, the children's hospital to improve programs. And a food pantry, we do a food drive and a coat drive. So, you know, it's like I said, it's really about if you have a hard reputation, and that this goes with anybody, not just a witch. I mean, if you look at Westboro Baptist Church, and I'm not trying to slam any churches, but they have a reputation for picketing the funerals of children, and they have a reputation for picketing the funerals of soldiers, and that's their reputation. And by, you know, because of that, not too many people are happy with them. So if I were doing something like that to others, and those who work with me, if they were doing those types of things, we wouldn't be liked either. So, yeah, I mean, and then you have the show, too. I mean, the show's a big hit. That draws a lot of people to Sleepy Hollow. And the moment somebody realizes, oh, there's real witches here, they kind of want to find out what that's about. So
when we were talking last time, you mentioned about, you know, if somebody did something to you that was adverse and had an impact, then you may well, in your witch's life, I suppose, cast a hex or a spell that would... I can't remember the words you used, Crystal, and I certainly don't want to misquote you. So, but just that nature of casting a spell or a hex against somebody else, that gives a quite a negative connotation of a witch. So when people jump to those conclusions about Wiccans and etc., it's fairly understandable in some ways. Would you agree?
I do. I agree with that. Well, part of the problem is there's a lot of confusion out there. I mean, I had Dave Schrader from Darkness Radio ask me the question, you're a witch, do witches you know, hex? Did they curse?
Yeah.
And I unapologetically said, yes, we do. And I fully expected to get backlash from that. And instead, I got a lot of feedback from people in emails and on Facebook saying, thank you for being honest, because we do. But here's the thing. This goes back to what I was saying about Hollywood before. You know, let's just paint a picture. You have a witch, you know, hiding out in the bushes that sees this young couple walking down the sidewalk in the park, madly in love, and just because she decides she's going to hex them and one of them dies, okay? Like, this is like the extreme, you know, Hollywood portrayal, okay? Maybe it's like a really silly one. But that's the idea of people, you know, of witches that people have in their minds. Now, witches don't... Hey, I'm not going to, you know, throw that proverbial banana peel in someone's path because I don't like the way they looked at me or because... you know, they had something bad to say. Words are words. You know what I mean? It's not, and for Wiccans, not all Wiccans are witches.
Yeah.
That's another thing a lot of people don't know. Not all Wiccans are witches. Not all of them, you know, cast. Some of them just worship the female deity. That's it. And they don't cast. So Wiccans teach love. They teach a threefold law, meaning whatever you put out into the world is going to come back to you three times. And I'm using that term very loosely. I think it's often misinterpreted and misrepresented. And they also have a rule, you can do whatever you want as long as you're not harming anybody while you're doing it. And yeah. I think it's a really good line to have if you're starting out and you don't have a mentor. I was not raised that way and in what my family taught and in what my family practiced. I was raised with eye for an eye. However, there has to be balance. So, and I was just explaining this to someone today before this interview. If I do a money spell, okay, and it works and I receive that money, I am then going to turn around the first chance that I get and do something good, whether it's donate money to a charity or, you know, give of myself and volunteer somewhere, because it's about balance. So when you go back to hexing or cursing, I'm not going to say that there aren't people out there who will just, you know, they get their knickers in a twist and will put something out there to harm whoever made them angry.
Yeah.
But the majority of witches won't do that. They won't do that. They really have to be justified. And because that does take a lot of energy to do, the repercussions can be severe. You know, especially if there is no balance and they're not giving back in some way for what they're sending out. So, I mean, I can certainly appreciate the fear that people, but it really isn't, you know, it isn't common practice. So, I mean, if somebody came and harmed someone I love, would I do it? Absolutely. If somebody stole from me, might I do it? I might. Doesn't mean I would. I mean, I might do something, not so much as a curse or a hex. I mean, it's all an interpretation, you know, on what you consider to be a curse.
Yeah.
You know, I might do something to later on expose them. You know, that they would expose themselves, or they would eventually get sloppy. And, you know, so I mean, like I said, it's all an interpretation, but... Don't let any witch get away with telling you that they don't curse. Even if you turn to someone and say, you know, somebody made you angry and said, you know, you turned around and said, well, then I hope you break your leg. And then they turn around and, you know, 2 days later they're playing soccer and they twist their ankle.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. I mean, it's no different than, you know, people say, oh, you know, you cast. I said, well, you celebrate your birthday, right? Yes. I said, you have a cake? Yes. You have candles on that cake? Yeah. Do you make a wish before you blow out those candles? Well, yes. Well, then you just cast.
Right.
So.
And that's into some sort of context, isn't it, really, about what that entails?
Uh-huh.
Last time when we spoke again, you were talking about your mode of transport and how you wanted to buy what we would call here a hearse, a funeral car. Did you achieve that dream this year?
I'm still looking for a hearse. I'm actually going to be in two parades this year, and I'm borrowing a hearse, but I am looking for my own hearse. And I think my teenage daughter's probably going to be horrified when I finally get it. The first question that's going to come out of her mouth, she's going to say, are you really going to drive me to school on that day? That's going to be the first thing out of her mouth.
Absolutely, as you smile sweetly as a mother and say, yes, and you get. Amazing.
So
some of the things I have in the house that they wouldn't be shocked anymore with some of the things I want to do, you know?
Well, Crystal, thank you so much for agreeing the interview. As I said before, I think, you know, you're living the person that you are, and I admire that greatly, because so many people in life are restricted because of society values, beliefs and rules, and they don't feel they can be who they are, whatever that means for somebody. And there are many different...
I went through it too. For the record, I did. I went through that myself. And it really just comes down to a point where you have to decide whether you want to spend the rest of your days making everybody else happy while you're miserable, or if you're going to be true to who you are and be happy yourself.
Absolutely.
There's no curtain call.
Definitely. And I think there has to be our kind of final word, Crystal, that live life to the full, live it for who you are, and as long as you're not causing harm to other people, then what difference does it make? Just live and be happy and do what you can to support other people to do the same thing. I'm sure that's the message that you would also give. Thank you so much again.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.